The following is a presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
You said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Go indeed. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen for a marvelous Monday. We are at the 14th day of the month of July. We're getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And I was talking to Cobra over the weekend via text message, and I said, you know, we're less than a month away from the first high school activities coming up here in the not-too-distant future. That is the Cobra. I'm David Tewksbury. We're glad to be with you on this Monday installment of the Hub. Cobra, sir, how are things?
Doing good. How about yourself? Had a great weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I had a nice weekend there, too. And you know, speaking of us talking back and forth, you sent me a couple of pictures
Yes.
over the weekend. You were hitting the lakes there a little bit and rolled in some fish.
Yeah,
huh?
Did all right. Caught perch, walleye. We also, I'll show you a picture during the break, but we also caught two pretty big northern pikes as well. And they were some fun fish. I was on net duty for that. And I struggled with the net, but I'll tell you what, reeling in a couple fish, it was pretty awesome. First fish I've caught in a long time, so I'm happy about it.
Austin Hebe, athletic director at Jamestown, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. It's the thrill of a lifetime. It really is. I love fishing. I'm not great at it, but
it's
just something I enjoy doing, especially in the summertime. Maybe you got a cold one in your hand or something like that. And I'm usually a big seeds guy. Seeds and a Coors Light or two or something like that for me.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, when that pole bends down, it's the thrill of a lifetime, and especially a northern pike bite, because those can be kind of interesting. Those are pretty big battles.
Yeah, there are big battles. I had one on my rod, and I just lost it right away, because sometimes I get pretty jumpy, and I reel right away, and it just snaps it. I snapped my line, I think, on one of those. It was either that or a turtle. I couldn't figure it out. Or a rock, for all I know. But, yeah, I mean, you got to have a little bit of composure. We were out on the dock, and we were fishing with, like, live bait. So we had minnows, and we had a bobber on it. So, like, once that bobber sunk down, it was go time. And, like, there was one time I was, like, on my phone messing around, and next thing you know, like, I was on my phone for a minute, you know, changing the song, sending the text, hey, I'm out here fishing or whatnot. Next thing you know, the pole goes down. I jerk it up, and it was gone. I'm like, you got to be locked in. Come on, I could have had another fish.
Yeah, you really got to be locked in for sure. You know, I thought you were actually going to go a different way and say,
you got to be paping me.
The one time.
Yes.
The one time you got something on there, you're futzing around with something else.
I was worried that after that was earlier in the day. So I was worried that I wasn't going to catch anything. And I caught this little walleye. That was the first one I caught, and I was super jacked up about it. The picture's hilarious. I sent you that picture of me holding that fish. It's really funny. But, yeah, it was great getting out there fishing. We cooked some up, too, after. So we cooked up the fish that we had. It was pretty good.
That's fantastic. And I got to tell you, there are some people that judge others on the size of the fish that they catch. I couldn't care less. I honestly couldn't care less. I'm always a catch and release guy. That's just the way I typically am. You know, people, they catch him, they fillet him, and they eat him up and all that. Whatever you want to do, your mileage may vary. I couldn't care less if it's a 3-pounder or an 8-ouncer. As long as I'm reeling in something, I'm a happy guy.
No doubt about it. That's how I was like a kid again when I caught that fish or those two fish. I was so jacked up. I'm like, I love fishing. I don't want to stop. It's awesome.
Yeah. Next thing you know, you've got completely red skin, and you're like, I've been out here all night.
That's the thing. We were out there, and next thing you know, we were out there, and it's 10:30 at night. I'm like, I've been out here a long time.
Yeah, that's one thing that's beautiful about northeastern South Dakota is it doesn't get completely dark until late, especially in summertime here.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Western edge of the central time zone. Got to love that for sure. All right, we just call him the angler, the Cobra, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He is an angler, you know. He's reeling in a couple fish here this summer. That's good stuff. Looking forward to perhaps that for yours truly at some point in time next summer. I don't have my pole here. I'm not going to go out and buy another one. So when I go back to visit my parents at the lake next summer is when I'll get back into it and see if we can have a friendly wager or something like that next summer. Because in the Tewksbury household, we've got the leaderboard. We've got the leaderboard.
Okay.
So we need to come up with a new leaderboard here for next summer's angling.
Yes, we'll have to do that. How many fish we catch?
My guess is probably plus or minus 3. But as long as we're reeling in something, makes me happy for sure. All right, Austin Heave, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Once again, new program in terms of the NSIC. The Jimmies of Jamestown, they are officially in as we've reached the date in which they are officially an NSIC member. So we'll talk about that coming up towards the bottom of the hour. Looking forward to that with Austin Heave. So, the All-Star break is officially here. Minnesota Twins head into the All-Star break under 500, which isn't great, but they're within striking distance of the wild card spot right now, the final wild card spot. They're sitting at 47 and 49. They've won their last three series, which is good news. The division race probably all but over. They're 11 and a half games out. But you always want to be like Costanza. You always want to go out on a high note. And they certainly did that here, winning their last three series and taking 2 out of 3 against Pittsburgh. And probably the highlight of that is Byron Buxton going 5 for 5 on Saturday. His first ever cycle there at Target Field. First ever cycle in Target Field history, for that matter. 12th in program history there. And Byron Buxton, the first guy that hits for the cycle there at Target Field. Congrats to the outfielder there. And tell you what, the Twins, maybe a little bit of momentum heading into the All-Star break. We'll see.
I think so. I think they got some good momentum. Would have been pretty nice to get the sweep. The game was tied in the fifth inning there yesterday. Would have been pretty cool to get the sweep against a pretty bad Pirates team. But you took 2 out of 3. You mentioned it. You win the last three series. But Buck, man, that when he got hit in the hand, it didn't look like that was a big problem in that game. He's been on fire as of late, right before the All-Star break. And, yeah, he hit for the cycle. Saw that it was the first in Target Field history, which was pretty cool. And that home run he hit, that last at-bat, it was the last at-bat. That's got to feel good. Like, you got the single, you got the double, you got the triple. Your last AB, they were winning the game big. And he goes, yeah. The center field, it was pretty special. He's a great player when he's healthy. That's just when he's on his game and he's 100% healthy, he can do things like that. It's just staying healthy has been his problem.
And oh, by the way, he also did it on Byron Buxton bobblehead day.
Now that's awesome.
How cool is that?
Talk about good timing. They should highlight that for next year. Like, hey, you're gonna have a good game when you do that on bobblehead day. We're going to have it the same date next year if we were at home.
There you go. Lock it up. All right. This is also something that popped up on my feed. I thought this was quite interesting, and I'm going to run this past you. And I know you know a thing or two about baseball, but I'm going to guess you don't know the answer to this one. We'll see if I can stump you. This is the first time since 2006 that the season has officially gone past July the 10th without a no-hitter. Nobody has thrown a no-hitter this year in Major League Baseball. Any idea who that guy was in 2006 that threw that no-hitter back in the day?
I'm going to go Mark Burley. He's always my guess.
Yeah, it's a good guess. I mean, it's not a bad guess at all. And I knew I'd stump you on this one because nobody knows this. Anibal Sanchez.
Wow.
That's a callback, huh?
Was that with Detroit?
He was with the Marlins at the time.
Okay.
They beat the Diamondbacks 2-0. He went the complete game, 9 innings. He fanned 6. He walked 4. 31 batters faced, but there you go. Anibal Sanchez back in 2006.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny you mentioned the no-hitter thing. You're not really going to see many of them anymore. At least the single guy. I mean, you saw it in college in the World Series. We talked about that. But just the short leash these managers have with the starters is absurd. And I was watching, we were talking about the White Sox from 2005. And there's a documentary. It's pretty good. But it's on YouTube. And they talked about how Ozzie Guillen trusted his starters so much that even in, when it came to playoff time, like Mark Burley, he trusted him more than the bullpen guy and would pitch the ninth inning, although he had a high pitch count. He did that with all of his guys, and they ended up winning the World Series that year. A really underrated team. But you don't see that anymore now. You just don't. I mean, I was watching an Orioles game last week. They're playing the Mets. Starter in game one's dealing. Doubleheader, game one of a doubleheader too, so you think you want to save the arm. Dealing going into the seventh inning. They put in the bullpen guy. He gets rocked. They lose the game. It's unbelievable how these managers now, and it's within probably the last 10 years, that they just don't throw the starters as much as they do.
They really don't. By the way, you mentioned that White Sox team. You had Burley on that staff. Was Freddie Garcia on that
Freddie
staff
Garcia
too?
Was on that staff. Contreras.
Wilson Contreras? No.
Jose
Contreras? Yeah. Or Quintana. Jose Quintana, right?
Quintana's a little bit later.
It's, okay.
Jose Contreras. Freddie Garcia is a really good callback there. Yeah. I forgot he was on that team.
Sure.
And then Burley. And then they had some other guy. I forget his name. Yeah. El Duque was on their team.
That's right, yeah.
El Duque.
That's right. Okay, yeah.
Really underrated team.
Well, I tell you what, these callbacks are coming fast and furious. Must be the coffee this morning that's kicking. I don't know.
Yeah, really underrated team. Like, that's like a one-hit wonder team. But, like, you need to have the conversation. I know we're just kind of spitballing here.
Yeah.
But that team might be one of the best of baseball. They lost one game during the playoffs that year.
That's right.
One game. That's it. I think they're great. It's a really good team. They won 99 games. Really solid team.
Ozzie Guillen, man, he's a guy that just kind of wore out his welcome there for sure. John Garland, forgot.
John Garland. That I was going to say that good one there.
Yeah, Burley, Freddie Garcia, John Garland, Jose Contreras, and Orlando Hernandez, aka El Duque, as you mentioned. That's a pretty salty staff right there. Back in 2005. Hey, speaking of baseball, the Holiday Brothers are officially in the show. Of course, you've got a gentleman that was drafted by the
Orioles?
No, not the Orioles, although he's also in the mix there. The Colorado Rockies, their dad.
Matt Holliday.
Matt Holliday, yeah. His son, Ethan, just got drafted there. He was going there in the number four pick in the first round. You have Jackson Holliday there for your Baltimore Orioles. So it runs in the family that the Holidays continue to do their thing in the show. Pretty
yeah,
cool stuff.
It really is. And Matt Holliday, Jackson was a first overall pick for the Orioles. And they were projecting that Holliday was going to go number one. He dropped to four, but I think it's kind of cool you're going where your dad started. He knows the way of the land. Could help because he's a high school kid now. I mean, we'll see if that's the thing about the MLB draft that's so difficult. Do you draft a high school guy not knowing that, hey, they could go to college, or do you draft him and hope that the money brings him to the minor league and he could get up sooner rather than later? Because if you wait, you're going to wait for a guy. If you draft a high school guy, he plays college. Let's say he plays 3 years of college. Then you got to go, you know, another 2-3 years maybe in the minors. He might not come up till he's about 8 years down the line. So that's what's interesting about that.
One thing that I love about the Major League Baseball draft, and it's the fact that you get so many, I shouldn't say so many, but you have several NFL players that are drafted by Major League Baseball teams like Jeff Samardzija, Russell Wilson, multiple guys that are NFL players and pretty decent ones too, or vice versa, that crossover. Like Jeff Samardzija was a tight end. He played for Notre Dame, and he was drafted, of course, to play for the Chicago Cubs. But, you know, it was like, does he go into the NFL draft? And, you know, just multiple guys. Kyler Murray, I think, was a draft in Major League Baseball too, right?
Yeah, he was. I was trying to see because I feel like he was a high pick.
I think so.
So, like, the A's, of course, the A's make like a high draft pick on Kyler Murray's playing football instead. Like, that would stink. You're a first round, second round. I mean, that's a pretty high pick. And the guy goes to the other sport, you're like, what do we do now? There's nothing you could do in that situation.
I feel like that'd be a perfect situation where you could have Billy Beane and
it was the ninth overall pick that year. What a waste.
I know, that's unbelievable. Well, it's kind of like that scene in Moneyball where Jonah Hill's character is like, this is Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is undersized. He throws a great sidearm pitch. He does. Problem is, he's played football. Problem is, he plays football. That's his drawback.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Problem is, he doesn't want to play. He wants to play football instead. So, kind of crazy how it all works out for some of these guys. Upcoming next on the show, speaking of baseball, the Aberdeen Smitties, they pieced together two really solid games in particular over the weekend. We'll talk about that as they were out east at the Gopher Classic, Brown County Speedway. Race night, you had the Andy Daly Superstock Special. That was a Friday-Saturday deal. And I guess there's just something about coming on the Sports Hub here because Mike Stearns, he was on 1 week from 1 week ago from today, and he picked up a couple victories. We'll talk about that and much more coming up next on the Sports Hub. Plus, don't forget Austin Heeb towards the bottom of the hour. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Saturday night, I'm folding some laundry downstairs about 9:45 at night in between my second daughter waking up every 20 minutes and watching a little Netflix. We're watching, I should say my wife already gone to bed, and watching the TV show Quarterback. And it's perfect because Kirk Cousins, you were just there the other day, great clips. He was just like, hey man, that's where I go to get all my haircut.
Doesn't he have a different way of doing it too?
I think he shows the folks at Great Clips a photo of himself, like how he got his NFL photo. He's like, yeah, that's what I want my hair to look like. It's like a photo of himself. Give me that. Give me the Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fantastic, as well as he's big up with the app, too. He's big on the app. He doesn't like waiting,
right,
from what I saw. So he's big on the app and making sure like he gets a time. But he is a great Clips guy. I do appreciate that.
He had some really, really fun one-liners in there talking about great Clips. And I was like, oh, that's perfect. Cobra was just there the other day for our remote here at Hub City Radio. So kind of interesting how that all worked out. Aberdeen Smitty's baseball from the weekend. They were at the Gopher Classic. And we'll talk about that towards the back half of the show. But first and foremost, some Brown County Speedway race night there. And we had Chad Becker of Aberdeen start in fourth place. He would finish with the checkered flag in the Wasota Late Models. Cole Searing of Huron there in second place. He started in sixth. And starting in ninth place, Thomas Wisegram of Northville, he would finish in third. So a lot of movement there in the top three in the Wasota Late Models. Todd Stark of Watertown, he would hold off the field. He started in first and finished there in first in the Wasota Midwest Mods. Dawson Zabel of Selby in second place. Adam Brotherton of Huron there in third. You had Jordan Henkemeyer of Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, start in second. He would finish with the checkered flag in the Wasota Superstocks. Kurt Myers of Cameron, Wisconsin, started eighth. He finished in second place. Stuart Chipke in third. Wasota Modifieds, our guy Mike Stearns, finished in first place not only Friday, but also Saturday there as well, with Dylan Zabel in second place, Garrett Gross of Aberdeen in third. And in the semi-pro legends in the A feature, Gage Madler of New England, North Dakota, finished in first place, and Rylan Vetter of Wishick, North Dakota, finished in first place in the B feature. And I am this many days old when I realized that New England, North Dakota was a place. I had no idea that New England, North Dakota was a city.
I've never heard of that before either. But you talked about Stearns. He finished first twice, and I think there was one where he started, like, he had to go a long way. So, really impressive from him. He had him on, and of course, like we said, you come on here, good things happen, and he showed out in a big way. Pretty cool for him, especially the Andy Daly Memorial. He knew him very well. He talked a little bit about that, to do that particular weekend. Definitely pretty special for him.
Looked like a really, really great night, pair of nights there at Brown County Speedway, particularly in the Wasota Superstocks on Saturday. Jordan Henkemeyer of Sauk Rapids started in 16th, finished in 4th. Austin Arbogast of Huron started in 24th.
Wow.
Finished in 5th. So I know that's not a win, but I don't know. You start in 24th and you finish in 5th. That's kind of like the track and field sort of deal. That's a win in my book.
Yeah, I wonder if these guys, like, they look at that and take moral victories out of that.
Sometimes. I would.
I think I would, too. Because, you know, you got to think about it. Only one car can finish first. And if you're 24th and you make 20, you cover almost 19 to 20 cars and get all the way to four. That's impressive. I mean, that's some high level racing, in my opinion.
Very much so. Chase Gelling there of Aberdeen started in 15th, finished in 4th in the Minnesota Late Models. Chad Becker taking the checkered flag there. And Travis Sauer of Elizabeth, Minnesota, started in 12th, finished in 5th there as well. So a lot of movement there on Friday and Saturday night alike.
I'm on their Facebook here, too. It says no racing this coming Friday. So the next races will be July 25th and 26th for the Dakota Rumble. So I just saw that. That was posted about an hour ago on their Facebook.
Interesting. Okay. I don't know if that was a planned one-week hiatus or not, but, you know, you've got Brown County Fair Week coming up not that far off, so want to get in as much as you possibly can before that. And I tell you what, it's been a tough year at Brown County Speedway because of the weather. We've had 4 rainouts already, which is really, really unfortunate. But, you know, the racing that has got in has been really, really spectacular. And Rusty was really fired up at the beginning of the season when we had him on. He said, I think this is going to be one of the best years yet. And the nights that they have had racing over there, it's been very, very entertaining, very competitive. But the problem is just you're at the mercy of Mother Nature there. You know, 4 rainouts already this year.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult when you can't. And we talked to Mike Sturds about that, how it's difficult to kind of get into a groove when you're kind of – and we said, hey, what's your schedule look like if a rainout happens? You got to kind of think on the fly, it feels like, and see what's open out there. But it's kind of difficult to get into a groove and get where you want to be when you're not racing all that much. And weather has not been kind to the Brown County Speedway this summer, and hopefully it does on Fridays from here on out, because it's tough for these guys that want to be out there every Friday,
and especially guys that just race here at Brown County Speedway. I've never talked to Rusty about this before. I probably should, but I gotta believe that most of these guys are racing all over the place. There's probably not just one single racer. It's just like, all right, Friday night here is where I'm at. There's probably guys and gals that are going all over the place. Of course, Stearns went all the way up to Grand Forks there this last week. So, yeah, you're kind of picking and choosing and figuring out where to go, or maybe down south to Huron or Sioux Falls at all those speedways. So you got to figure it out for sure. But only a small handful of races remaining in the summertime season before fall gets officially underway here in the not-too-distant future. Also of note from the weekend, you had the SDGA Men's and Women's Match Play Championships there down south in Sioux Falls. And this was kind of you start off in pods, and then after that you kind of work into more match play and what have you. On Friday, you had Olivia Braun, Anna Eliason there from Mitchell, J.C. Pugh of Miller, and Kylie Weyerbaugh, of course, of Aberdeen. And Braun would finish in first place of those pod crew, if you will. J.C. Pugh in second, tied for Kylie Weyerbaugh there, as Braun defeated Eliason there by 6 strokes, defeated Weyerbaugh by 2, and then defeated J.C. Pugh there by 3 strokes there on Saturday. But in the quarterfinals, Olivia Braun would lose to Mackenzie, I'm going to go with Madges there, by 5 strokes, ended after 14 holes there with that match, or that in that match play. Madges would go on to win and defeat Allison Meyrink 5-4 to win that title. So that's a new name that we're going to have to keep our eyes out for in the not-too-distant future. Hey, you defeat Olivia Braun and then Allison Meyrink. That's some pretty stiff competition there.
No doubt about it. That's a really nice job from Madges. She won by 5 strokes there, ended that early, and then was able to defeat Allison Meyrink. I mean, that's pretty, like you said, stiff competition back-to-back. There isn't no... You can't just let up when you beat somebody like that. She was able to stay focused. Yes, you're happy that you won, but you wanted to move on and continue to play, and she did that. It was a little bit closer against Meyrink, but able to get it done. That's impressive.
That's literally victories against back-to-back Class A state champions, of course, Meyrink and then Braun 2 years ago now this last year. And, of course, Meyrink is a GPAC champion as a freshman in college at Dakota Wesleyan. So keep an eye out for Mackenzie Madges there in the not-too-distant future. So very competitive Friday, Saturday, and Sunday down south there in Sioux Falls at Prairie Green Golf Course.
Yeah, it looks like Madges plays at South Dakota State.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, she played, I'm looking here, she's on the roster. Looks like a pretty nice player, team best. 74.87 shots per round. That's pretty good.
74. That's probably, what, 1.5 over par, give or take?
Yeah, that's really good.
Maybe 2, tops. Upcoming next on the show, we're going to talk with Jamestown Athletic Director Austin Hebe. He'll be joining us as the Jimmy is officially now in the NSIC. Talk about that and see if we can figure out a way to get Northern States and Jamestown on the same page with a traveling trophy. I've been kind of beating this drum here for the last, couple months, give or take. I put something out there on social media. Didn't really get a whole lot of response back on that one. Got a couple of responses, but would like to see more. But, you know, it's meant to be fun. These traveling trophy things are meant to be fun. It's supposed to be for the teams, the fans, the communities.
Yeah.
So we'll see if we can come up with something. Austin Hebe, he'll be joining us live on the phone line after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. You can follow us on the X there as well, at Fox Sports 1420 AM. At @_Cobra66, at David Tewksbury, and our next guest is also there on social media, at Austin Hebe, UJAD. He is the athletic director. Apropos, Austin Hebe, he joins us on the phone line. Austin, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Appreciate you guys having me.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure, for sure. And officially, let us be not probably the first people to welcome you to the NSIC, but I don't know, maybe the 74th. I don't know what that list looks like.
Yeah, but you're probably right in that. You're probably right in that world, right in that ballpark somewhere.
That feels good.
No, I appreciate it though. Thanks. It's pretty exciting. Appreciate all the congratulations from everybody. It's been great.
So I'm curious, how long has this kind of been in the process for? I mean, obviously, you haven't been at Jamestown for 20 plus years or anything like that, but you've been there for a good amount of time, and you've played in some very, very competitive conferences, the GPAC, the North Star, now going to the NSIC. How long, in your opinion, has this kind of been in the works, and what has to occur for you guys to make that jump from NAIA to Division II?
Yeah, so honestly, you could go broad with it and say that this has been, this has been way before my time. When the start of the upgrade in facilities and staff and scholarships happened, 10, 15 years ago. It was kind of, I think you asked me the question 2.5 years ago, maybe almost to the day, like, oh, I've heard some rumors. So it was kind of on everybody's radar a little bit that, hey, some of the things that we were doing up here kind of started to match a lot of what looked like the NSIC. So well before my time, but really, really seriously, it was looked at, twice in the history of the University of Jamestown before when we pulled the trigger this last time. And this last time, I think some people might think that the kid from the NSIC came up and said, we have to be an NSIC, and that could not be further from the truth. I got up here, and it legitimately, I think it was my last week at Northern, we got the email that Upper Iowa was leaving the league. And it was just kind of like, okay. So that news, I brought that news up here, and it was instantly like, all right, well, this is at least something we should kick the tires on. So we by no means jumped in head first at that point, but we started doing the different feasibility studies and working with a consultant to see, hey, is this even worth us exploring? And here we are now.
Yeah, for sure. And, I feel like there's a difference, to ask you that question 2.5 years ago, the rumors and things of that, and like, hey, it could happen, and now it has happened. And was that a kind of a quick process in your estimation? And what made you kind of pull the trigger to go to the NSIC?
Yeah, it wasn't quick. I mean, it's one of those deals where, what do they say? The days are long and the years are short type of a deal. We took our time with it, but when we decided to do it, we did it full steam ahead, which is one of the things I really appreciate about our administration here is when we're going to do something, we're not going to wait around. We're going to go do it. So I really appreciate that part. And I would say, honestly, the biggest factor for us, there were a lot of factors. The biggest one was our student athlete experience. The GPAC is a great league. Tukes, you alluded to it. It's a really competitive league. It's a fun product. But it just geographically for us, it wasn't good for our student athletes. I think there were three times our basketball teams left campus on a Tuesday for conference play and didn't come home till a Sunday morning. Just because of, hey, if you're going to play Wednesday night in Iowa and you're going to play Saturday night in Nebraska, you're not going to come all the way home, right? So just, not our students not getting to not only the classroom time, but also the being a college student time, right? Part of it's just being on college campus and meeting people and being around. So that was a big piece of it. And we're really excited for our alumni and fans as well. I mean, we're going to start to get to play teams that, frankly, a lot of our alums are used to playing against. I mean, we've historically been in conferences, you know, with the Minots and the University of Marys, and played Northern and Moorhead a lot. So I think they're really excited for that to kind of get back, and we expect even bigger crowds at our home games with more visiting fans. So I think all the way around, it's going to be a really good experience for us.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. And just from my presentation days of being up in Jamestown and that brand new stadium, the Harold Newman Arena there, talking about volleyball and basketball up there, I was kind of looking around. I was like, this doesn't really feel like an NAIA arena. This feels like next level stuff. And obviously you guys have made that transition, and that place is going to be packed for sure. Austin Heap joins us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Now I'm curious, now that you are officially full-fledged NSIC members, does that mean that there's kind of a grace period where you're not allowed to play in postseason anymore, or are you full bore? Like, how does that kind of work out now?
So we got into the expedited process last year. So it was supposed to be a 3-year provisional process with the NCAA. They came out with an expedited process that we applied for a waiver for and got. And we just, what you saw, one of the announcements you saw last week was the NCAA moved us from year one to year two. And year two is the final year of the expedited. So we'll have 1 year of no postseason. And then after this school year, as long as we do everything we're supposed to and the NCAA gives us the go ahead, we will be full bore, full postseason, full everything in the fall 26.
Does that carry over for winter sports as well then, or how is it just for football?
Yeah, so it'll be one full school year of no postseason play. So, and then NSIC, it depends. So NCAA, there will be no postseason play for us in this year, 25-26. And then as far as conference play, there's a grid. It's basically by team sport. So team sports won't get in. Individual sports will get to compete. There's some that are a little bit different, but that's the easiest way to explain it without getting too far into the weeds for you.
Well, maybe this is kind of a nerdy question. Maybe it's a dumb one, but
love it.
Why is that even a thing? You know, like, let's just say your volleyball team, because Jamestown volleyball has been very, very good for a lot of years. Let's say you go out and you compete at a high level and you win the NSIC or something like that. That means that you can't play in the postseason. Like, why is that even a thing? Any idea?
I wish I've gotten that question, and I need to come up with a better answer because I don't have one. I would understand it, right? I always said I'd understand it if you're going the other way. Like if we were going from Division One to Division Two, okay, you might be playing with a little different deck of cards here. That makes sense. No, I've never really. Someone once told me it's to keep schools from bouncing back and forth between NAI and NCAA. I don't know why you couldn't just say you can't do that, or after the first time you no longer get to do that. I wish I had a better answer for you. I don't have one.
This is probably an easy question for you, but obviously you make the jump to the NSIC. That's going to help recruiting purposes big time. I'm just kind of interested to hear your perspective on that because, you know, you jump up to D2. That's a little bit different than the NAIA level.
Yeah, you know, I kind of tell everybody it's a double-edged sword because yeah, I mean, you put the NCAA blue dot with the Division II next to it in your next year logo, and all of a sudden you have access to prospective student athletes that wouldn't have talked to you before. Not right or wrong. I mean, as an institution, we haven't changed. We're doing a lot of things the exact same way we already did. We, like you alluded to, because we've got good facilities. We're working on staffing every year. We feel like we're going in the right direction. So not a lot has actually changed, but you throw that blue logo with the NCAA on there, and all of a sudden – some student athletes who weren't interested become interested. At the same time, I said double-edged sword because you also need better student athletes. So it goes both ways, but our coaches have already seen that. The day we got invited into the NSIC, our coaches were getting responses from student athletes that may not have been returning their phone calls before. So,
yeah, I could see that. I could definitely.
It's kind of funny how that works.
It is.
And yeah, right?
Because there's so many student athletes that's basically like D1 or bust. And I feel like maybe I'm wrong in saying this, but I feel like the more and more social media continues to be paramount in our culture, I see more and more coaches saying, don't, that's just a terrible mindset to have. It's not D1 or bust because we've seen so many football players in particular go D2 that go play on Sundays now. So, you know, as you're part of that umbrella, be it NAIA, D2, D3, doesn't matter, JUCO even. If you're playing at the next level, that's an incredible blessing. I mean, there's so many people that graduate high school and they don't ever play college fill-in-the-blank sport ever again. So, yeah, I do think, though, it definitely expands the brand for sure, and you have access to that transfer portal, right? I mean, that's a beautiful thing about becoming a D2 team.
Yeah, absolutely. And I couldn't agree with you more, and I'll say it. Not even just about D2. I mean, about, like you said, all levels. I just tell everybody who wants to play, go where you get to play. Go somewhere where they're going to support you and you're going to get to play. I mean, that's really, they always throw the stat around about how many people go pro, right? Like, go somewhere where you get to go enjoy your 4 or 5 years and you get to get on the court, or you get to get on the field, and hey, maybe you turn into something. But unless you're on the field, you're probably not going to get to find out. But the transfer portal, yeah, it's a whole different beast. We were obviously trying to recruit out of it in the NAI. We just didn't have access to the portal. So we were able to, the NAI did pass a rule that as soon as a student athlete entered the portal, they had deemed to have contacted us. So as soon as, you know, and like, as you kind of alluded to social media, you kind of found out pretty quickly who was in the portal. They weren't very shy about it most of the time. So we were able to reach out to a lot of those, but having the access to the actual portal is definitely helpful.
My guess is, you know, I've got the football schedule up here, and my guess is you probably got that first home game scheduled there, September 13th versus Southwest Minnesota State, being that it's the first conference game at home. You go to Augustana the first week of the season. I mean, that's going to be, you know, pretty cool there, that first home game in the new conference.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and we've got – One of the things I really, really love about this place is the amount of support we get from our community and our alums. And I have no doubt that we are going to show out very, very well for that one. And it's going to be an exciting year. It's going to be a year of firsts in a lot of cases. Really looking forward to that first one and getting the fall underway.
Austin Heap joining us, Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm not sure if you're a Seinfeld guy, Austin, or not. But
Friends guy.
Oh, more of a Friends guy. Okay.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. That's me too.
Well, nobody's perfect. But I got to ask, there is a line in Seinfeld where George and Jerry they're kind of getting into something at the coffee shop, and George says, care to make it interesting? Well, how about November the 15th against Northern State? I know there's going to be a lot of travel both ways, back and forth between Jamestown and Northern and vice versa when you guys are playing down here and when Northern's playing up there. What do we do to make this game maybe stand off a little bit more? Could we get a traveling trophy? I've been of the opinion of like the 281 Cup or something like that. Are you guys kicking around ideas in some way, shape, or means? Because this could be a really, really fun rivalry.
Yeah, I think the best part for us is we're going to, you know, and I love something like that in whatever sport, but we also have a lot of options. You know, we got Northern now, we got University of Mary, who before, at one point in time sounded, from what I've heard, was as big a rival as Valley City for us. So I'm really excited. It's funny. We haven't gone to 281 yet, but we've thought battle of I-94, with University of Mary. But that's one of the things I'm looking most forward to about this is, you know, we're going to get to have some of those. And you said there's going to be plenty of travel going back and forth. I anticipate that our home events are going to be significantly fuller because we've got, you know, people from, I know Northern State travels well, trust me, I haven't forgotten that. So I expect that won't change or hasn't changed. And same with us being able to go to places like Northern State or Moorhead or Minot or University of Mary. And I mean, I think we've got about 10 schools in the league that are inside of our shortest conference trip before, which is Dakota Wesleyan. So it's going to be significantly more advantageous for us to build some of those rivalries you were talking about.
And you talked about that earlier, right, Austin, just the travel being in this conference, it's going to be the world of difference compared to what you saw in the last league you were in, right? I mean, it's just going to be a completely – is it kind of like a 180 kind of change then for your students then?
Oh, 100%. It's going to be – and I think they even noticed that. I mean, it's pretty similar, I would say, to the North Star travel we had last year. And I think everybody on campus already noticed it last year. Our faculty, our student athletes, they were just around more, which is good. I mean, like to, you know, they like to go on the road trips, but there is a point where when you've been on your third one in 4 weeks, it's like, okay, I can't miss another 3 days of school this week, and I'd like to be around campus a little bit for some events and some things that are happening. So that's all stuff that geographic. Not only is it more, we are kind of close to the center of the conference in terms of geography. So it's something we're really looking forward to.
New NSIC member, the Jamestown Jimmies, Austin Heeb, athletic director there, joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Is there anything that we're not asking you about that you're kind of looking forward to the most? I mean, what's kind of the next couple weeks and months look like? And is there anything out there that you want to hit on before we let you go here?
You haven't asked me how – everyone under the sun asks how competitive we're going to be.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. No,
well,
they do.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think volleyball is going to be very, very competitive. I think basketball is going to be very competitive. I think football is still probably going to be a little bit of a ways away because that's just typically the way football works. But you guys have had –
No, that's what I tell people. I say, hey, look, this is – well, it's not a – it's technically a two-year transition. It's really, you know, it's longer than that. I mean, we have to continue to figure out what we don't know. I mean, we're doing everything we can to turn over every rock and make sure we're prepared. But, you know, going to anything, whether it's a new job or you move towns or whatever, it takes kind of a full year to figure out, oh, I didn't realize that was such an important piece of the puzzle. So that stuff we'll always work through. And, yeah, like you said, I mean, we did our women's volleyball team. Coach Hagley does a great job. And we did graduate. I think we graduated three All-Americans this year. You know, like you said, NSIC, that's gnarly. That's a dang good volleyball league. But looking forward to the competition. I think they're going to be, like you said, they're going to be sports where we step in and, you know, hey, we're plenty competitive right away. And there are going to be others that, hey, they're going to take a little more time. But in some cases, those were sports that, you know, we were already trying to rebuild a little bit. So it's just, we're just climbing a different mountain.
All right. Well, looking forward to seeing you guys there along the way. Austin Heeb here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Thanks again for doing this. And again, welcome to the NSIC. We'll be number 75 to do that if we already are 74 earlier.
Hey, I take it. Take it. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me very much.
Absolutely.
Have a good week.
All right. Likewise to you. That's Austin Heeb right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, athletic director for Jamestown. And I'm looking forward to seeing them in this conference. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, he brings up a good point. It's not just Northern and 281. There's a couple of teams just right there within probably, you know, 20, probably about 50 miles or so from Jamestown. And UMary, they're just west of them in Jamestown. So, yeah, that's going to be a fun transition for them, I think.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He mentioned a good point, and we talked about being competitive. It's, you know, football, it's going to be probably pretty tough. Just, you know, you're in a new league. You don't know the style. You can watch all the film you want, but it's just a different level. You know, basketball, volleyball, you know, they're a really good volleyball school, but we know how good the NSIC in volleyball is. So, you know, it's going to take some time, and they understand that. And some sports, they're going to do great. Some, it's going to take some time rebuilding. And, they, you know, that's the right mindset to have. If we, one thing, you know, we're going to dominate every sport. It's just not realistic. It's not going to happen. So we'll just have to wait and see. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how they come out with this. The football schedule, I'm just looking at it here. You got one on the road at Augustana. You got two at home versus Southwest of Minnesota State. That UMary game, I'm sure they're looking forward to that. And, of course, NSU on November 15th. That'd be cool little football weather for that one, for sure.
It's going to feel like football weather this Wednesday with temperatures in the 60s. I'm all for that. By the way, their volleyball team opens up on the road at CSP. They were 16-2 last year in the NSIC, and they were right there at the top. So that's going to be tough, but I'll be very, very curious to see how they transition because, like you mentioned, Coach Hagerly's done a great job with that program. You lose a couple All-Americans. It's going to be a transition for them too, but I think in the not-too-distant future, this is going to be a team that's going to be, or program anyway, that's going to be performing very, very well, and they're just going to be a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah, and he mentioned it, and that was my thought before we had him on. Like, this is going to help so much with just recruiting from a standpoint of you're kind of looking for, you know, a different athlete maybe from a standpoint of, and he mentioned it, you know, you go to D2, the athlete that wouldn't talk to you before, now they're coming and talking to you. So it definitely is a different kind of recruiting. Nothing that these coaches aren't they're used to. It's recruiting. It's all the same. But the athlete is a little bit different than maybe the NAIA level.
Our thanks to Austin Heeb joining us here on FSA. We'll talk some Smitties and wrap up this Monday of the Hub. Our thanks to Austin Heave for taking some time out of his busy schedule and joining us, and we welcome them into the NSIC. Should be a lot of fun to be up there in Jamestown and vice versa for them to be down here as well in the Hub City in the not-too-distant future. From the weekend, the Aberdeen Smitties, a 1-3 weekend there from the Gopher Classic. A tough go on Friday against Bemidji, falling in five innings, 11-3. And then on Saturday, not great results in terms of the wins and losses perspective, but played a lot better, certainly. Mm-hmm. They fell to St. Paul Hamlin, 11-6. And then they were right there with Plover, Wisconsin, 3-2. Bennett Eisenbeiss, tough luck loss. He went 6 1/3, but unfortunately the Smitties were walked off 3-2, your final score there. But then offensively, they really exploded yesterday, defeating Lakeville North 13-4. Michael Dutenhofer strikes out 7. Jared Klutwick goes 2-4 with a run scored, 3 ribbies. Carson Borg, he crossed home plate 3 times. He also drew a couple of walks and 2 runs batted in there for him as well. Jackson Ladner with a pair of runs batted in the victory. 13-4 winners there in the Smitties. You know them. They're hitting the road once again. Travel out west this time. They'll take on Spearfish Post 164 on Thursday and then Post 33 for a pair on Friday. Smitty's coverage courtesy of Culver's of Aberdeen.
A lot of baseball games for them over the last week or so here, and they were a nil, you know, very close to getting 2-2. That walk-off win was a tough one. Eisenbeiss pitched well. They got some really nice pitching performances. Eisenbeiss, Dutenhofer, Jordan Foss pitched well in relief in one of those games as well. You'll take that. I think they're turning the corner a little bit here, playing much competitive. But we talked to Ganelli last home game. He said, we just got to be more consistent. And, like, they'll play really good one game, and then the other game it'll be lopsided. It's just not consistent enough. They play more consistent, they could do some things.
No question about it. We're back at it tomorrow on Fox Sports Aberdeen.